Blog Talk Radio.
We locked in, family. We gotta get that energy right. Let's figure shit together. We locked in, family.
Who is it?
Gotta get that balance, get that energy together. I feel it just like that, family. Gotta get that energy together, family. You got it together. Then let's start the fucking show. Peace and light, family. This is your boy, Pimp Black, person in the making progress. Welcome to the Vain Verde Podcast. This is the Vain Verde here to get a game service with that called change. I ain't certain, but with this truth, gonna make all the pain worth it, y'all. I'd like to thank you all for being here with me tonight, you know. Could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me tonight, you feel me? And you gotta know I'm grateful. You gotta know I'm gracious. Despite all my flaws, despite all my imperfections, you did. I'm comfortable with here, being here, living my truth, family. You know, they say the truth is a hard pill to swallow. You say hold your nose and tilt your head back, family. Vain Verde Podcast. Guest call is 646-787-1936. Salute everybody checking in, everybody here in the United States, U.S. of A. Piece of shit ass country. We're going to get to that in a minute. Salute California, Georgia, Texas checking in. Everybody in Illinois checking in with the family. Peace. Everybody up in the Carolinas, South and North. Fuck with you, boy. People up in Virginia, I need that love. Indiana, I need that love. Wisconsin, I need that love, family. Everybody in Kansas, I need that love. Appreciate it. Salute everybody up in Denver, Colorado. It goes farther than that, family. Everybody overseas in the UK, up top in Canada, South Africa, over in the motherland, people down under in the Bahamas. Peace and light to everybody checking in with the Vain Verde Podcast tonight, family.
The Vain Verde Podcast.
Yeah, we up in the building, family. Give a round of applause to the ancestors for allowing us to see another day, a day we've never seen before. I'm sure a day we'll never see again. That this time, give yourself a round of applause just for being who you are, family. For being great, for being you, for being unique. All of the above. You did. Family, this one right here, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I don't like what's going on right now, family. We getting straight into it. We ain't cutting no chase or nothing. So, Instagram and Facebook decides to ban the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Finally decides to ban Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, of course, the government has been taught, been looking to silence Farrakhan for quite some time. Now, y'all got to understand who Farrakhan is. This is a brother that has been a messenger, you know, a pillar in the community, speaking truth to power for 60-plus years, family. His Farrakhan sits in the seat of Elijah Muhammad as the head of the Nation of Islam. Now, let's not get nothing confused, family, or get it confused if you will, because there's no shame in it or anything like that. I'm a full supporter of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as well as the Nation of Islam. I am not a Muslim by practice. I'm not a Muslim by your quote unquote standards of, you know, what you call, what you think the religion is. That's not me. However, I do consider myself to be fruit of Islam. I do consider myself a soldier in this fight for our people. Just so my FOI, I'm staring at my FOI hat right now, and I have it sitting on a submerging butterfly. We'll get to that. So that's a bar in itself, is a double entendre. But I just think it's mighty interesting that they choose to ban the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan now. So why now is always the question. The minister's message has never changed. Well, let's look at the charges first. Now, MSNBC was reporting, if any of you, you know, listening, if y'all follow the podcast on the social media, you saw the flyer for the night. The particular post that I had tagged was from MSNBC news program, where, you know, they were stating, talking about the banning of Alex Jones and as well as Minister Farrakhan. Matter of fact, we're going to see if we can get that play real quick. Let me see if I can boot that up. Because I want y'all to really hear this newscast. I want y'all to, we're going to be on the same page. I want y'all to hear where I'm coming from with this shit. All right, let me see. See if I can get this played for y'all. Let's see.
Newsroom. Ben, this is, I think, for those of us who've been following this story, why are they doing this now?
Well, it's a good question as to why they waited this long, but
exactly.
Yeah. Alex Jones has been banned from Facebook for a long period of time, but now they banned him. They banned his like little underling, Paul Joseph Watson, who's a notorious anti-Muslim conspiracy theorist who tried to break off recently. They banned Laura Loomer. They've even banned Louis Farrakhan from platform for his anti-Semitism, which is that's always sort of been the what about from the right here, is why not ban Louis Farrakhan for banning Alex Jones? So they banned both. So that's what's happening here on Instagram today. They are kicking down what they call organized hate groups, or, you know, hate against specific religions, specific like sexuality, things like that. This is sort of taking the lead of its parent company, Facebook, from a while back, which had a hard time enforcing that.
So, as you hear, so I guess social media, you know, is doing, want to clean up so-called hate groups, right? Groups that speak out what they call hate against certain, either religious sects or any other, you know, type of organization or things of that matter, right? Here's why that shit is interesting, though, family. America in itself, like, how all the dirty shit that Donald Trump has said, the blatant disrespect, calling shithole countries. I mean, what does the minister say? He used terms like blood-sucking termites when he was describing people that come in and speaking out against the gentrification in the black community. Justified statement. Isn't that what they're called? People that constantly come in a community and sucking the life and you know what I mean, enforcing the fact that black dollar only generates in the black community only one time, as opposed to at least just the Jewish community, it circulates what I think it's 5-6 times before it goes out. Speaking out against the Jewish and the Zionist controlled media, and all the propaganda that's being used, you know, to push war and the act of going to war amongst American people, to unite people, to incite fear. Oh, you mean speaking out against a pharmaceutical company that has been openly discussed, openly cases, vaccinated and destroying minority boys, young black boys? Or speaking out a judicial system that wrongfully and over sentences black minorities and non-whites, even for non-violent offenses? When white people commit more crime, more or less of the same crime, but receive less time. So speaking to God against these evils, these atrocities, makes the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan dangerous to the United States. If that is the case, if we was to take it from being anybody from the outside looking in, again, family, Y'all know me. I'm very, very open and transparent. I do not walk or follow. I don't succumb to the overall Muslim lifestyle. I have my ways. I'm still the product of this world. I'm openly admit that, but I'm learning and I'm getting better, family. However, be that said, being that somebody like me or is not as even open or aware, knowledgeable of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan or the Nation of Islam, like that, for me to just take the last couple hours like I would be doing, just going back to listening to in full to these so-called hateful statements the minister has made. But if you listen to what I've noticed, the majority of practically all of these little excerpts and clips was just small little clips in order to fit a narrative, and which all the minister's speeches and the things he said has been taken out of context. They leave something before or leave out something afterwards and leave what is to change the narrative of the conversation to make it like a hate speech. And it's something they've been doing to the minister for years at a time. So, again, if we were to take all of this with a grain of salt, I say, okay, yes. But if when I sit down and listen, when you sit down and study all of these statements, family, and listen to the minister, it's hard to find a lie in what he speaks. All he does is speak the truth, and the majority of it is truth that their own Jewish scholars have even said. Example, the Kerner Commission, the minister references that a lot. Well, the president sit down, you know, put together a commission called the Kerner Commission to examine racism in North America at the time. And their findings was, you know, they came out and say there's two Americas. There's a white America, there's a black America. Racism is still alive and well. This is well after slavery, quote unquote, ended. But slavery never ended, family. Not in this country. You speak out against power, you upset or attempt to threaten the crap game, they will attempt to silence you. They will. Something eventually happens. So all your standing up men, even women, Angela Davis, Afeni Shakur, Winnie Mandela, and these are just a few light women I know, and these are just recent. Because we're going to go back into See, I got to go back and tell y'all head up one more time on Surviving Christianity. Because, see, I'm going to have to pull that because Surviving America still kind of takes me back to that because religion was one of the major of the nine components used to innate the dominant society on avoiding white genetic survival. Religion, education, sex, war, labor law, economics. Control all the areas. Oh, entertainment. I didn't say entertainment. That's not. They control every aspect of these. Control all of these aspects, brother. You control the nation. You remain dominant in those fields. You control the narrative of what's been pushed, what's been said, what's been shown. That was the purpose of the invention of television. Television was designed for ads. To influence people to buy, influence you to do this, influence you to do that. That was why it was called television programming. Literally. And, you know, of course, Vance been going. We're going to have to do a show about that one night, about the movie industry and Hollywood. You know, we're going to have to tackle Hollywood one night. We survive in America, family, the time and where it must be done. They trying to silence the minister, y'all. By trying to scrap up. We just waiting on the orders in the fucking way. It's time to hit the reset button on this shit. Yeah.
The Fame Verdict Podcast.
Back in a minute, fam.
Man. You know, it's just hard to believe, you know, it's me and you going through this, y'all, you know what I mean? You know, something that was, you know, built and supposed to have been built and standing on something so solid, you know what I mean? Funny and shatter like glass for something so petty, you did? You know, it's funny how, you know, times really change situations, you know what I mean? You know, how current circumstances and the choices we make in those times can define where exactly we're going in the future. You get what I'm saying? Man, I say this is my first session of counseling. Look.
So many questions I have for lately, and I ain't questioning the past the latest. But lately I've been questioning the past, be paving because it's shady. Yeah, I admit you're making me crazy. Look, I was in it for a couple days. You paced me, hey. Never did I think of starting making a baby. But it's fake, we ain't there. She hates me. What I mean is some things they dream. What happened to the queen? And if it ain't the way it seems, then come back to the king, or go back to my dreams.
Man, it's hard to do this shit without sharing tears, sorry, you know what I mean? You got a nigga crying for you, you feel me?
And it ain't like the money got you tripping, cause it wasn't even the money got you missing. I can see it, we were missing something, but we did it cause we did it big, man. I just wish the shit was different, shit. And all my niggas used to trip on how we spend it. Who the hell are we kidding? You know you was my dependent. Then it got winner, then it. That's when we got frigid. Now the business ready, empty, ain't nobody to visit. I don't call that chilling or even living, is it? And you know we didn't want our house to feel like prison. And I know I talk a lot of shit and probably mean that I hit the bottom, but you couldn't even lift my spirit. But I take it how you did it, you give it so inconsiderate. What was so different than me not considering forgiveness? What started with is this? It feels like the world is a prison. I'm stuck here, and I don't have enough here.
Damn. But I can't do this, man.
See, family, the thing is, right? Thing is, why I don't show no, you know, a lot of people be one. I do get messages a lot. People a lot of send me. I got one today, actually, recently, not long after, you know, I first posted, you know, the flyer. About, you know, what type of podcast is this? Like, what type of things we talk about and cover? See, when I did this, family, I feel like there's enough, y'all, it's enough gossip sites out there. You know what I mean? It's enough fucking gossiping, and it's enough motherfuckers worrying about what Cardi B them doing out there. You know, it's enough bullshit out there like that. You know, I like battle rap, right? Technically, I do a battle rap review. Example, might have to go in on recent URL event, Goods and Cassidy. Oh, yeah, we got to go in, Cass, because you talking all that shit, Cassidy. But anyway, if y'all knows, man, I like to do self, I like to do things that empower. You know, my only purpose of, you know, ever starting this podcast a year back with another two more close acquaintances of mine. Salute Miss KB. Salute my boy 6'8". Salute Spade Black. But my purpose was doing this after, you know, jumping back into my acting career, hard trying to pursue that. I wanted to have another lane as far as, you know, me getting my personality out there, you know, people being exposed, being used to me, trying to create a resume, if you will, you know what I mean, because living in Black Hollywood, I've been on that before, anyway, so I started doing this, and the purpose of that, you know, and we just serving that point, so as I began, you know, and we started going on, I was like, man, you know what, we need a topic, something to talk about. You know, if y'all remember, if y'all, you know, think about it, probably we was doing a lot of relationship stuff, you know, little questions, like, you know what I mean? What's the oldest age to date and shit like that, right? And what I enjoy doing, which I'm going to do, you know, more of those, trying to dumb it down a little bit, but, you know, I probably got caught up a little bit, want to get some information out there and want to spread some truth. And, you know, and expose a lot of things that a lot of my people have been brainwashed and systematically controlled over the years and unbeknownst, not even knowing. You know, a lot of things we do, you know, a lot of things that we encounter are really subconscious. You know, we do them innately because that's just what we think is the norm. Pretty much your every day, your every walk of life here in the United States, fam. His program. You know, it's all brand new to us. You know, we've never seen anything like this as a culture of people. That's why it's always harder for us to connect with each other, because we connected and grounded and rooted in things that's not even of us. With a people that's not of us, people that's not like us. We ruled by a society of people that's scientifically, listen to what I said, family, scientifically not compatible with us. They lack melatonin, can't withstand the sun a lot. That's why a lot of us, you know, we're up under the sun god. That's why we say amen. You know, a lot of, look, I'm trying not to go back into, see, everything always leads me back to that religion and how a lot of religion has been twisted and things of that nature. With also, why I have some questions about Islam, right? Now, here's my thing. It don't stand in line in the grounds of, you know, what we're talking about tonight. I have some issues with Islam because I tend to study things. I study things for what they are and their origin, where they come from. And as I study more along more, there's a lot of conflicts for me with the Bible and the Quran and the Talmud and whatever quote unquote religious books they're out there that you know goes whatever faith that they, you know, that they are joined to. However, the characteristics what the Nation of Islam does for black people, family, it's truly something remarkable to see, family. Do y'all know anybody that's ever joined the Nation and then went backwards? Don't they always end up better people? Like when you see them, you know, their skin looks healthy. They, you know, be in shape physically. They usually dress nice. You know, they have things going for them. They have such humble spirits. Do y'all know anybody that's ever, like, went? That's what I'm saying. That's my point. You know, these guys, man, that, you know, these guys get out in prison. You know, God in there, too. You know, Christianity in there too, Buddhism in there too. But see, when the Nation of Islam get to a gentleman, they get to really teaching them the knowledge of self, a true knowledge of self that's yet to be debated or refuted. That's my thing about, you know, all you Farrakhan haters out there. You know, are we denying the work? Look at the men that's standing up, man. These are stand-up men. You know what I mean? These are stand-up men that's taking care of their family, that's protecting their black women. They're doing for self. They out here creating opportunities. That's the thing. I got a lot of y'all niggas like Young Pharaoh and all you motherfuckers, man. Like, bro, what do you do besides make this trash-ass music? Trash ass music sounding like these, trying to be cool, sounding like these mama rappers, running from the knowledge that you have, bro. That's the thing that get me about. See, you're a young man, so I can't really go, you know what I'm saying, in on you, you know what I mean? Hey, it don't make sense. The shit don't even feel right for me, right? But see, I don't really understand that about, like, you in particular. You know, and real polite, you know what I mean? Because, like, y'all niggas is the, for one minute, y'all for the people, but y'all for the money. Like, you know what I mean? That's the difference between what I think. So we don't see y'all doing. We see y'all doing a lot of shit for self. You know what I mean? The Nation's out here, brother. Like, you come here. I'm right here in Atlanta, Georgia. I could take you to your supermarkets. I could take you to the restaurants. You know what I mean? Serving real food, organic food. I could take you to the martial arts classes, we're teaching self-defense. I can take you to where they're teaching the girls cosmetology and, you know, how to braid hair. And everybody learning agriculture and how to garden. Men learning how to be engineers and, you know, to create wealth and things for themselves. Learning accounting, you know what I mean? Young boys standing up. Learning to defend themselves. This all in the Nation. Where the hell is the young Pharaoh or the Brother Polite school for anything? Like, where y'all work at other than fucking books? Because everything y'all doing is all, it seems like all the work y'all doing is just benefiting yourself. What the fuck do y'all do that's benefiting the people? I hear you. You can get on the internet all day and talk about this, expose this, talk about this shit here that happened 60, 70 years ago in an organization that you don't know shit about, bro, that you ain't even, you know what I mean? Maybe you think you do. Maybe you think you do. It's city. You say you grew up in the Nation, so I think you know about a lot of shit, because that's one thing I noticed. You stay away from a lot of the type of rhetoric that Young Pharaoh kind of spews out. I noticed that shit about Setting. I noticed that about him. But with guys like, you know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like, I see, you know, the work that the nation has put in. You know, and I like, and it's always them the people that I hear that stay hating on Farrakhan. It's and it's a bit of like, we talking about doing for the people. You know what I mean? What change has all these haters brought to the hood? I apologize, Young Pharaoh. Polite, I don't see it. All the work you guys have done has been benefiting yourself. You know what I mean? I'm looking at years of history, man, that the nation and Farrakhan has put out. So, like, if everything that all I'm hearing Minister Farrakhan speaking is speaking the truth to power, speaking out against evil, speaking out of Zionists that's, you know, controlling and you know, doing all these, you know, wicked and bad things they've been doing over centuries of time and exposing these things, that makes him dangerous to the country. If that is the case, if that's make him dangerous and he's speaking truth to power, that means everything he's saying is absolutely correct. Because if it wasn't, he'd just be up there speaking a lot of bullshit, right? He'd just be up there speaking a lot of shit nobody agrees with. And then just, oh, that's just venom. So obviously it's a threat. It's just, if it's necessary to silence him, I wouldn't know. 612.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. How you doing?
Peace, brother. How you feeling tonight, man?
Doing all right. I just want to talk to you about, I noticed the title of your show on Blog Talk was called Surviving America.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to say, you know, I'm an immigrant myself. My family came from Ethiopia back in the 80s. And I got to grow up here, but I also spent a lot of time overseas in a lot of different countries. And I'm just wondering, like, have you ever gone to, like, travel outside the United States at all?
Yeah, once.
Where'd you get to go?
Only once, man. I gotta go to Africa, man.
What country?
Years back, man. I need to get back over to South Africa.
South Africa, okay. So, I guess maybe in South Africa you can see it a little bit if you go to some of the, you know, the shanty towns and some areas you can kind of get a taste of it. But South Africa is kind of a developed country to a degree. Like, if you go to Cape Town, Johannesburg, you don't really see that real poverty. And the point I'm trying to make is that when Americans try to make it seem like living in America is like this difficult thing, for me, I'm thinking to myself, man, if you think you got it hard living in America, how would you last more than 1 week in most of the world right now? Like, what would you do?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I think sometimes as Americans, and I understand because I grew up here, so I get it. Sometimes if you just grow up here and all you know is America, you can sometimes think this is how it's like for everybody. The whole world is like this. But when you know, like you said, you've got to go over there and see a little bit of it. If you get to learn what the most of the world is living like, it'll make you appreciate a lot more what you got. It'll make you kind of realize you don't really have it as bad as you think you do, and that you should be grateful for the opportunities that you have that most of the world doesn't have. Because 75% of the 7 billion people on this planet live off less than $200 a year in income. A year. $200. That don't have running water, that don't have access to electricity, that don't have a bed to sleep in, that a lot of them don't have shoes, a lot of them don't know what they're going to eat every day. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if you take for granted the fact that you got hot and cold water running every day, the fact that you can have electricity 24 hours a day, that you have a bed to sleep in, that you got multiple changes of clothing that you can wear, that you got multiple pair of shoes that you can put on, that, Lord willing, you might have a car, or at least you got some type of mode of transportation that you can reliably take every day, that you got a job. You know what I'm saying? That you can regularly put food on the table for you and your family. It's amazing to me how so many Americans take those things for granted like it's not a big deal. You know what I mean?
That's
true. And they sit there and they just compare themselves to, like, the wealthy upper class and act like because you're not living like them, somehow you got it bad. And it's like, instead of comparing yourself to them, why don't you compare yourself to the 7 billion people on this planet and see if you're living better than they are? Because if you did that, you would look and you would realize, oh my God, I'm living 10 billion times better than these people are living. Feel what I'm saying? And, you know, Americans just need to check themselves about that for real, man. And just give their head a shit. Because that's why all these immigrants are showing up and they're outdoing a lot of Americans. How they can come here, not know the language, not know the culture, not have any money in their pocket, and in 5 years they got their own business and they already bought a home. Meanwhile, you got people who grew up in America their whole lives, don't even know how to manage a checking account. How does that make sense? It's because you don't know what it's like to really have to survive. You don't know what it's like to really have to grind where you're just struggling to make sure you got something to eat this week, let alone today. And so when you don't have that grinding mindset, you get that lazy mindset. When you get that lazy mindset, that's how you fall back and you fail. That's why so many Americans are failing in life. And instead of taking responsibility, they just want to point the finger at somebody and act like it's someone else's fault. When the reality is you're lazy, you didn't handle your business, you don't know how to manage your money, you don't know how to, you don't even know, you couldn't even rub 2 cents together and make a dime out of it. You couldn't do shit. You don't even, if someone gave you $100,000 today, you wouldn't even know what to do with it. You would end up blowing it all on clothes and cars and jewelry and waste it all in the next 2 weeks and then not have anything to show for it. So, I mean, I you know, I'm serious. I'm just tired of this nonsense, man.
So, watch this, right? And here's the thing, right? I totally agree with everything you just said to an extent. However, right, I don't want you to mistake. I really want you to understand what the title of this show was saying. You know, it's Survival of America, the time it was when must be done. I'm specifically speaking to non-whites. And what I mean by that, saying I'm specifically speaking to non-whites in this, main particularly, you know, blacks like myself. There's no other people in history that has went through what the African-American in North America has went through. Because like what you just said, like, that's how so many people come over here from other countries, not knowing the language, and they're able to, you know, excel and succeed within 5 years. Now, I'm speaking to a people, a culture of people that were taken away from their homeland and brought to a land that was unfamiliar with them and made to serve with people that's unlike them. For 400 years, quote unquote, end that chattel slavery and replace that chattel slavery, replace those chains with laws. For the dominant society, you know, in America, which runs the world, even the countries that you're talking about. Because, see, the overall thing is the idea of America, looking at America as a country and not a business, is just wrong in itself. That's just facing reality, though. Because, like, how is that even possible that in countries like that, that's that poor and that disenfranchised, but then you have this wealth like this over here? There's greed somewhere.
That's how it's always been, though. America,
you know,
is another empire in the long chain of other empires.
So what you're saying, because you know what I'm saying, like, exactly. So it's systemic, that's what's been going on. I'm speaking to black people. I'm not speaking to no other nationality of people because they have their own issues to deal with. I'm talking about how black people have been treated in this country and still has been treated in this country.
So you know that law in nature with animals, right? That law about how when if you don't adapt to a changing environment and climate, you can go extinct. You know that law that's in nature, that survival of the fittest.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is something that African Americans today need to comprehend and need to understand. You're not operating under the rules that were in place, the things that were in place in 1865. You're not operating under 1955. It's 2019. So the environment is different now than it was then. And let's remember, there was a lot of black men and women who were very successful in those situations, which were way worse than what you're dealing with now. I know a lot of them.
I disagree with you with that.
It's not an opinion thing. I'm talking about facts. There were more black
I disagree with that in the late 1800s and 1900s
than there are today. Now, how did that happen? Because America was way harder for black people in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s than it is now. We have more black people who own their own businesses in the 1800s and 1900s than it is today. During slavery, a lot of people don't know this, there were more than 1,000 black slave owners that owned plantations and owned their own slaves. Okay, so this myth that black people have always had nothing is a lie. There's been a lot of smart black people that knew how to use their brain, that knew how to make money, that were smart and sharp, and even with all the racist BS they had to put up with, they still made it and they still got down and handled their business. So what I'm saying is, for an African-American today to sit here and tell me, you don't know how to come up, you don't know how to handle your money, you don't know what you're doing, that's embarrassing. Because if them people could do it when it was way harder back then than it is now, then what's wrong with you? How come you can't get your act together? How come you can't even manage, you know, keeping $1,000 away, put away? I'm not asking a lot. I'm just talking about basic finances. Just learning how to grow your credit score a little bit. Learning about how to, like, establish a relationship with a bank and at least get a secure loan so you can at least get, I don't know, a $10,000 credit line. Just something. Just, I mean, the small step that you should be able to come up, especially if you're a grown man. I'm not speaking of women. I'm talking about if you're a grown man over the age of 21 and you live in the United States of America and you're not mentally retarded and you ain't physically handicapped, you need to be know how to handle your business, bro. I don't know. I don't know what happened to people where I'm seeing grown men, 26, 30 years old, 35 years old, living at home with their mom, living at home with their parents, playing video games all day long, don't even have $100 to their name, don't have a car, can't do nothing.
They
ain't even trying to make money. You feel what I'm saying, bro? They're not even trying to do anything. And then some of these guys I know, they got kids, too, on top of that. And they ain't doing shit for their kids. They have no problem sitting back and letting their kids be on government assistance. You would have to kill me before I let that happen to my children.
Fact.
You're going to have the government or some other man taking care of my kids? That ain't happening. The only way that's going to happen, you got to put a bullet in my head. I'm not about to leave my children hanging like that. And so I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with black people today. Because I learned in research from some of the great black minds in history of this country, people that I respect tremendously, people that I looked up to that inspired me when I was young, that showed me how they overcame the situations they had. And so I don't buy that excuse that you're telling me today in 2019 you can't do it because of racism. Oh my God, bro, you better go in and learn what your forefathers did, how they handled shit that was way harder than what you're dealing with, and they were able to come up. Come on, man, what does that say about you? That makes you a good person. The reality is, it ain't because of racism. It's because you don't got a brain and you ain't willing to work hard and you don't give a damn about yourself, your family, or your children. Because any man worth his salt, you already know, you should be hustling and grinding, not just for you, so that you should be hustling and grinding so that your children can have a better life than you did, so that your children can stand on your shoulders and they can start further ahead than when you started. That's what a man is supposed to do. And so I'm tired of this victim, I'm a cry because of the white man. Listen, unless a white man shoots me, kills me, he ain't going to stop me. Ain't no white man going to do some mental control over me and have me doing something that's going to go against my interests. That's not going to happen. You ain't going to indoctrinate me. That's not possible. And there's no way a man should ever say that. The only thing that can stop a man is if they kill you. If they didn't kill you, you got no excuse, bro. You got to get your shit together and stop complaining, man. I'm tired of niggas acting like they can't do it when you know you can, and there's a bunch of brothers out here doing it. It ain't like there's a ton of brothers out here hustling, running their own businesses, doctors, lawyers, accountants, engineers. I mean, come on, man. Go to Atlanta. If you ain't seen it for yourself, go to Atlanta and see it for yourself. You'll see a whole bunch of black people successful, making a lot of money, owning their own business, living in the night. Look, I went to Atlanta one time. I went to an upper class neighborhood. So you know what I'm talking about. I went down to Atlanta. I went to an upper class neighborhood. It was nothing but mansions, and it was nothing but Mercedes Benzes, BMWs in the driveway. I was driving through there. Every single person in that area was black. There wasn't one white person in that whole area. I'm telling you, bro, black bros. I mean, I just black people got to think bigger, man. You got to know you can do anything, man. Ain't no person going to stop you, bro. You got to stop with this idea that someone's holding you back. The only person holding you back is yourself, man. And if you ain't inspired, if you feel like, you know, whatever you can't do it, you can learn. You know, I mentor younger brothers all the time, especially the high school I used to go to, and I tell them the same thing all the time because they always say the same shit to me. They say, brother, the game is set up against me. It's rigged. I can't make it. It's set up for me to fail. And I tell him something in a way that he can understand because all these young kids, they play Madden. They play NBA 2K. So I say to him, listen, what if a young kid went and bought the game Madden, went home and started playing it, but he didn't know any of the controls. He didn't know the rules. He didn't know the strategies. He didn't know how to play the game. So every time he played it, he kept losing. And then that brother comes to you and tells you, man, this game is set up for me to fail. No matter what I do, I always lose. I ask him, what would you tell that kid? And they all say the same thing. They say, oh, it's just because he doesn't know how to play the game. And I said, what should he do?
Thanks.
And they say the same thing. They should say he either needs to get the manual and learn how to play the game himself, or he needs to meet somebody that knows how to play the game and knows how to win at the game and learn from them. And I say, that's it exactly. That's how life works. That's how it works about making money. So you think it's rigged against you when it's not. All the problem is you just don't know the rules. But once you learn the rules, once you learn the strategy, once you spend time with people who do know how to do it, you'll find out you can do it just as they can. And I'm telling you, there are so many young black men in this country that are natural born hustlers. That they know how to, you know what I mean? They can take a dime, turn it into 10. Give them a dime, they can turn it into a dollar. Right? They, you know, they slang in the streets, they know all about that. But they don't know nothing about legally how to do it. But when you tell them, listen, this is how you can build your credit. This is how you establish a relationship with a bank. This is how you get loans so that you can invest in real estate or start your own business. This is the process, the steps you got to take. Once they learn this stuff, you'd be amazed. These young brothers, it's like a light bulb goes off in their head, and they get this light in their eyes, and they get that hope, and they say, oh, my God, I can actually come up, and there's a way to do it, and it ain't that complicated. Bro, once they figure it out, they take off, man. You know how many young brothers I've seen that went from living in the projects with a crackhead mom, with nothing going on, about to drop out of high school, and now they're 26 years old, with owning their own business, with their own family and kids, and they were responsible dad, and they're totally legit. That's what I'm saying, bro. Black people got to stop having a low expectation because y'all can do it. You're no white man is any better than you. You're just as smart as them. You're stronger than them.
You
perform bullshit on a day-to-day basis than they deal with. So imagine that. That means mentally, character-wise, you're stronger than them. That means you got more heart than they do. So that already tells you right out the gate, because you went through shit, it makes you stronger so that you can handle other bullshit that comes down the road. So if that's the case, you should already be with the mindset of saying, I don't care what's in front of me, I'm going to overcome it. If there's a wall, I'm either going to run through it or I'm going to jump over it. It ain't going to stop me. And once you got that mindset, bro, ain't no one going to stop you, man. You can do anything you put your mind to. That's just the truth, man.
Hey, that's what's up, caller. Hey, family. Y'all hearing it right here live on the Vane Verde Podcast. They say the truth is a hard pill to swallow. We say hold your nose and tilt your head back. We'll be right back.
Like the ocean. If I ain't know no better, I would think you slipped me into the potion. The last drink that I had was you. As if I'm still passion through a wine glass, nothing that feels matters much if I can't have you. I'm lost, babe. Lost in the sauce. And girl, I don't know where to go. Put it on hold. If I should just let it blow and take his course. Drift further into the abyss of our life. devil's way far beyond. No heart nor rope play, so come and I'm beyond.
We have our own
lost in the sauce, finger let out, no way to go. Put it on pause, or if I should just let it flow.
The veins, veins, veins.
Okay, we're back at it, family. That was that boy Andrew Worth of his, That was Wave of Rhythm and X. Rhythm and Passion, this project. Go check him out right now on SoundCloud, everywhere, iTunes, Apple Music, everywhere you check your music out. Y'all know we having a conversation, Surviving America. Salute to the caller just called in, 864.
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Peace, God. How you feeling?
I'm doing great, bro. I was just listening to the last caller. And the end game, you know, I could definitely agree with the brother. But the facts are is that the chips have been, you know, stacked against us like, you know, like crazy. And for us to, you know, undermine the situations that we are going through, that have, we have gone through, and potentially will go through on this land. You know, the guy, I heard you guys describe it as being very greedy. When you look at the nature of the European, he's been that way all around
Facts.
The globe.
Facts.
But you see that America is basically like the spoiled grandchild. It's like the spoiled grandchild. That can basically get away with anything. But then we shouldn't be so silly to think that it's not tied into other, you know, a lot of the other countries and, you know, continents, European
interests. Of course,
it's
global domination.
Right, right. So when we look at the powers that be, and when we look at a thing like us as black people, you know, and from my study and research, people might debate and go back and forth, but we as black people, we own the consumer title. We own buying power. Meaning we buy like hell. Right, we buy like hell right now. So this current system, this economy in which we live in, is dependent upon some slaves, right? So it's not slaves, like it's not actual chattel slavery where they're beating you now, but they have an interest on keeping you dumb, keeping you deaf, keeping you blind, keeping you docile, keeping you asleep so you can remain on the chain. Because when us as black people, and this is the thing in here in America, whenever we choose to get our shit together, everybody, you know, owning businesses, everybody, then that's when we need to be afraid. All right, why? Because I was just checking out, you know, just going back, looking over some of my notes. But in, we all know in Tulsa, Oklahoma, we had the same dynamic where black people were on, you know, on their thing in 1921. They were,
of course.
And this wasn't the only place, but you know, like somebody said earlier, us as black people back in them days, we were holding it down. But what happened, and what happened then, and why I would think it was more easier, is because you had a lot less influence. Now you have social media. You have a lot of this social influence where people, you know, where they have to go out and get some joins, or else they feel like they're gonna get picked on at school, or you know, it's a lot of social statuses that people are in bondage by now. So we have to be honest with ourselves, and us, those the children of those, you know, descendants, where we are the descendants of chattel slavery. So we are now talking about reparations. That means, you know, in the root of reparations is to repair, fix, amend things. We had never been fixed from the chattel slavery. We had never been fixed from the Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So now we basically carry that same thing out. And especially when we in current day, when they have Flint, where they aren't even privy to clean drinking water. You know, we all know that you wouldn't have that in no all predominantly white community nowhere in America.
Not
we have that going on. Right? but we still have that stuff going on. So I think we can't be naive to say, well, hey, we could just pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. Now, on a bigger note, I would say, well, yeah, that's what the end goal is going to be. We have to do that. I won't deny that. But to say that we're going to just do that and we can eat an elephant overnight, no, it doesn't happen overnight. So we are going to have to even understand, because the majority of our people, we still going to church and we still giving money
to a white man.
So what happens when you are unconsciously going in your pocketbook every Sunday, and this is coming, this passed down through slavery?
See, all right? That's what I was saying at the open, at the top, you know, the top of the show. A lot of the things that we doing, man, is subconscious. You know what I mean? It's things that just programmed just innately in us.
Right.
You know what I mean? That we can constantly do. We still celebrate holidays. We still, you know what I mean? We still, last week, my entire week was surviving Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going in depth in that. But, yeah, man.
And you're absolutely right. When's the last time us as black people, we've unconsciously gone somewhere for 10, 20 years and given to something with a black figurehead? We unconsciously give money to a white man, to a white Jesus. We cry, we pour out. So that has a lot to do with how we're spending our money. When we go out there and spend our money, of course, now we're going to feel comfortable with our money in the white man's hand. He already knew what he was designing. It was psychological. And we have to understand, if we're not psychologically detached from a lot of the stuff that messed us up in the yesterday, we ain't, you know, we might look good in the today. A few of us may look good. But in the collective, you know, we not really going anywhere. And I want to say this, that when we started to get our stuff together, if we started to get our stuff in line where we had black millionaires, we would still have to worry, because them crackers going to come check you out. They going to come and do the same thing they did in Black Wall Street, which, you know, that's the first time any country, any land had bombed itself. Now, they didn't hear about countries dropping bombs on other countries or on other territories, but never dropping bombs. Now, that's how bad the hate is or was. Even for us, as a lot of people that were lynched and that were killed and that were hung back in the day, they were business owners. They were land owners.
Exactly.
So guess what? Even when we do have that, and they would send the military, they would send paid officials in to come do that work. The slave,
yes,
we can't
sir.
Forget that the slave patrol, you know, they wear the same, they had the same badge as what you see the sheriff.
The police. Yes, sir.
Right.
The Georgia, the state troopers.
Right. So, I mean, so, okay, so you're not selling drugs on the corner now. Now you're a blue-collar black businessman. You still going to get shot down. And then guess what? The white folks, so it really is still the same. We still dealing with the same beast. It don't make no difference how clean you are or how dirty you are. In their eyes, you still a Negro.
Fact.
You still a nigga. You understand?
Like I said,
so we must understand this. When engaging in products, while engaging in business, because I'm not saying what the brothers is saying is not true, but it's a whole lot of stuff that we got to fix.
It's layered. You know
right.
what I mean? It's a layered conversation, man. That's why I was just really letting him get his rocks off with. You know, it's a layered conversation.
Yeah, it is, man. And I think it has so many layers that in order to genuinely fix it, we're going to have different people. You got brothers
right.
working with the gangs. We can't just say, hey, man, come out the hood and go get your finances. No. It's a lot of psychological training with
you
grandparents. People done been in that stuff for decades, for many years, and they ain't been able to get themselves right. So I think conversations like this, shows like this, will get us back to that place. But when we have black folks ready to spend more money on Cinco de Mayo on Christmas than they are at Black History Month. I don't know no black person that is going to have a Black History Party. I ain't never heard of that. A black
I ain't never heard of
party
it either, bro.
Everybody is gonna, now they going to have Cinco de Mayo, where you're going to see Mexican restaurants.
Full
people
of black,
going to go
of
in and patronize them. Now, these are the man. Johnny Come Latelys. But you're going to have black people going over there to get drunk. Now, tell me is when we going to have a Black History Day and have Mexican people coming over there to patronize us. Huh?
Come on, man.
That
come
is
on,
a,
man.
That's a big problem. I'm sorry,
come
bro.
Come on, man. That's facts. That's facts.
Yeah, it's a lot of identity crisis that we have gone through, and we're going to have to cleanse ourselves up internally, mentally, spiritually. You know, even with the drinking water, my brother, I'm down here in South Carolina, but in Greenwood, you know, I know some brothers and sisters from Greenwood, and a lot of time where I'm from, people would say, well, man, you know, some brothers and sisters over there don't really, they elevated don't go to the top. But come to find out, they had been lead poisoned for a long time. And when you have these heavy metals in your body, that does cause things like ADD, ADHD. Man. You understand? These are things that they cause the old Alzheimer's. It causes like with lack where you're not really there in your mind.
Yeah,
so
autism, all that.
Right, autism, all of that. You're absolutely right. So even for us to possess the mentality that it would take to operate, control, and run a business, we at least got to be in an environment that is going to support and be conducive to us coming up. But a lot of times, it's not. The food that we get, you know what I'm saying? This shit
exactly.
is poison, man.
Man.
This shit is poison. So we have to be honest with ourselves, brother.
That's right, man. Hey, dope, I appreciate you calling in, family. Hold on for a second. Family, y'all here, right here on the Vane Verde Podcast, 646-787-1936.
BlogTalkRadio.com/TheVaneVerde. Follow us on all social media platforms to stay in tune with all upcoming episodes. Facebook at The Vane Verde. Twitter at The Vane Verde. Instagram, the_Vane_Verde. Google Plus, at the Vane Verde. Skype, Vane Verde. For all sponsorship inquiries and all show ideas inquiries, you can email us at thevaneverde@gmail.com. Again, thevaneverde@gmail.com. All love and support is greatly appreciated. GoFundMe.com/thevaneverdepodcast or PayPal me at thevaneverde. Peace of life, family.
The Vane Verde Podcast.
You can't handle the truth.